I've had a good time in the series. We've talked about a lot of different fears that we all have. So far in the series, we've looked at darkness, heights, snakes, death, being alone, public speaking, and tonight is failure. Now, that's quite a list. If you are here tonight and you are not afraid of any of these things, you have superpowers or something. Almost everyone is afraid of at least one of these, and tonight's a big one. It's about failure or making a mistake. It's a struggle for lots of us, and I struggle with this one. I have this feeling every day that what I'm doing just isn't good enough, and I'm letting people down, and I'm making mistakes, and I don't want to make mistakes. So if you are here tonight and you have a fear of making mistakes or letting people down or what you're doing isn't just good enough, that we are fellow strugglers with that. This is a big one for me. So what I'd like to do is share what I've learned, some of it the hard way, about making mistakes. Now, here's tonight's takeaway. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do, but it will really help you if you could just put tonight's takeaway in your heart, and Becca's going to pop it up on the board, and it's don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just they're going to happen. Don't let the fear of mistakes stop you from trying new things, stretching yourself, picking yourself up and trying again. Don't be afraid of that. Now, mistakes are weird. I don't like them. They're embarrassing. Sometimes they make you feel awkward. They make you feel weird, or you've done something wrong. But I want to say that mistakes are great teachers. Mistakes are great teachers. They can help you get better. You learn, and I mean learn a lot from mistakes. I saw a slide I'm going to pop up a couple weeks ago. I saw this, and I want to put it up on the screen right there. How much you learn from theory, so kind of reading about something, and that's how much you learn from practice, getting in there and doing something, and then on the right is how much you learn from your mistakes. And there's a lot of truth in that. Now, I learn from each way. I learn from theory. You know what I like to do if I don't know how to do something? And I didn't grow up with YouTube, but I love YouTube. I can put a motherboard in a big TV just from a YouTube now. And we didn't have that growing up. Or I can do things with my cars that I never knew how to do, or things in my garage. I can read about it or watch a YouTube. And so what I'm doing is I'm getting theory, and I can do things. So I learn a lot from theory. I learn a lot from that second one, too, practice. If I do something enough, I learn how to do it better. And I'm a kind of person who needs a lot of repetition. I tried to learn a language, a foreign language, it's been decades ago. And I was the type of person in class that really had to do it over and over and over and practice it before I could learn it. I've taken some math classes, and for me to really get a good handle on a math concept, some of you can pick it up. I see Dr. Bowling up there, and there's Bill Littles and Joe Shelton. Some of you geniuses up there can pick it up. I have to do it over and over and over again from practice, and then I learn it. But you know, one of the best teachers, even more than the first two, is just mistakes I made. The time that I just fell down and got my nose in the dirt or just did something embarrassing, and I will think, this doesn't feel good. I'm going to do whatever I can, read whatever I have to, plan ahead however far I need to, because I don't like this. I don't like mistakes, and mistakes are great teachers. So that's the best way by far for me to learn is to make a mistake. When I make a mistake, I really have to think about what I did wrong. You know what happened last week? I gave Becca two wrong verses to put on the slides. I said, let's see the verse. And it was, she did what I told her to do, but it was the wrong verse. I did that twice. I had four verses, two of them were wrong. That's not very good odds, not a very good ratio. So you know what I did this week? I really checked him. I went up and talked to Becca before the service. Hey, what verse do you have? And yes, that's what I want. You know, now watch it. Probably be wrong tonight. But you know why I did that? Because I made two mistakes last week, and I didn't want to do that again. And mistakes are great teachers. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. They're going to happen, and when they do, learn from your mistakes. Here's a great verse, Proverbs 24:16. Here we go. I'm nervous. Oh, no. I used a white. Okay, good. For a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. Now, right there, that first part. It doesn't say that a just man avoids mistakes. It doesn't say that he is perfect the first time. It says that he keeps falling, he keeps getting up, and keeps trying. That's beautiful because that tells me it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to try new things that do not work. Because when you keep getting up and keep going, you are learning new things. You are stretching yourself and getting better. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to try something, maybe something good, because we are afraid of what might happen if we fail. This is one of the most common fears we have as people. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid to make a mistake. We're afraid to try something new. So I type a lot. I write a lot of things. I write a sermon every week. I type lots of things at work. The volume of things I type, the emails, the letters is just a lot. And one of the greatest discoveries that I made a few years ago is the undo button. Undo. Now, if you type a lot and you don't know where this is, it's an awesome thing. There's a big screen, and like say this is your big computer screen, and you're typing stuff. Well, up here in the corner, there's an arrow that points this way, like a fish hook, and it's undo. And if you make a mistake, you can hit that button, and the computer will just undo what you just did. It's like you go back in time. So if you erase something, a lot of your a big paragraph that you wanted or make a formatting change or something, you can hit that button and you can go back in time and you can undo your mistake. Isn't that awesome? I didn't even know about that until about half my career. And it was awesome when I found out that you can undo your mistakes that you type. It's a great feature. I made mistakes when I typed this very sermon and used that button. It is very, very valuable. The problem is we do not have an undo button in life. When you make a mistake, it's there. It's there. It happened. You can't undo it. It's just there. I'm going to tell you the best news in the world. The best news you will ever hear, ever, is that God is willing to forgive every sin you've ever committed. He's willing to do that. He wants to do that. He wants that for you. If you're sitting here tonight and you have things in your past that you wish were not there, that you know were wrong, and you know that it wasn't what God wanted. If you have those things, you don't have to carry that around. God wants to forgive you. That's the best news in the world. God will forgive you. But God doesn't let me go back in time and redo those parts of my life. They happen. Now, He'll resolve them. He will reconcile them. He has made a way to pay for them, but he doesn't take them away. They're part of me, the mistakes that I've made. I don't get to go back in time and redo everything. So tonight, what I want you to do is look ahead. Know that your past is your past. And know that you have a loving, generous, caring, powerful God who will absolutely forgive you. You know, I have people come up to me almost every week. I have family members tell me, I don't know if God can forgive me of this. And I tell you, He can. He can. He will. He wants to. He has made a way to forgive anything in your past. So if you're hanging on to that, He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to move on and look ahead. You know, Paul wrote about this. Paul had some things in his past. If you see where Paul shows up in the Bible, in the book of Acts, he was kind of, he did some bad things, things he's not proud of. And look what he wrote in the book of Philippians, verse 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I don't have it all figured out. Here's one thing I do know. Here's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Boy, that's good advice. Forget those things in your past that God is willing to forgive. Forget those things and reach ahead to your future. That's what is a big key to helping you with things in your life. Don't look back. Don't be stuck in the past. Don't be afraid or paralyzed by the thought of making a mistake. Don't be afraid to try something, no matter who you are, how old you are, how much maybe you feel you are away from something. Don't be afraid to try new things or make a mistake. Okay, I saw this in a book one time. It is from a guy named John Maxwell, and the book is about this. It's called Failing Forward, and it's how to use your mistakes to get better. And it's a little cute summary. I like this. This is chapters of your life. Chapter one of my life, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. But it's not my fault, and it takes forever to find a way out. That's chapter one. Chapter two, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole. I pretend I don't see it, and I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it's not my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3 of my life. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am, but it's my fault, and I get out right away. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Amen, right? Chapter 5. I walk down another street. Amen? That's pretty good. Walk down another street. Hey, at the end of your life, I'm in a group of people about my age. It's going to be an older group. And we text about famous people that we hear that have passed. We kind of remember things about them. Usually they're singers or performers or actors, but when someone passes, we write about it and talk about them a little bit. Every day it seems like someone famous passes. Tina Turner, I saw, passed away today, 83, Tina Turner. So we just talked a little bit about Tina Turner. And so when someone passes, we talk about it. And I think, what was that life like? What was that a worthwhile life? Is my life worthwhile? When you get to the end of your life, what are you going to look back and is going to make you say, I lived a worthwhile life. Have you ever thought about that? It's a big question. It may be awkward, but it's good sometimes to just take a minute and think about those big, awkward questions. What makes a life a worthwhile life? Is it how much you have, or how famous you are, how many friends you had, how you looked, where you were? What makes it a worthwhile life? The best use of your life is when you invest in things that outlast your life. That's the best way to spend your life. when you invest in things of value, in people that outlast your life. That's the best way to live your life. Hey, let's stop here with this story. We'll be done. Look at Matthew 25, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. I want go back 1 second. Becca, I want you to see something. This is a story about a man who owns everything, and he got some servants, and he gave them his goods to invest and do something with. So they were his. The goods weren't the servants, but he let the servants borrow his goods to invest. Okay, thank you. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So what I want you to see about that is everyone got something. And it's interesting that the unit of money back then was called a talent, and that's what I want you to think of, a talent, but another way, a gift. Everyone here gets something from our master. You have, you're good at something. You have a gift or a talent, or you have this ability. And so while we're here and our master is away, we need to invest our talent into things that outlast our life. Everyone has them. There's no exceptions. In that story, everyone got something. Different amounts, but everyone got something. Here tonight, everyone has something. We're able to do different things in different ways, but we're all special. We all get something. Okay, next verse, 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. So he used what he got well, and he turned a profit. He invested what the master gave him wisely and had more to give back to the master. 17, likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, this guy, I don't think he was trying to steal or anything. I think he was afraid to make a mistake. He wanted to at least give back what he had. He didn't want to lose anything. He didn't want to take a risk or a chance. And as you can imagine, when the master came back, he didn't get a very good report card because he was just afraid to fail. He was afraid to make a mistake. He was afraid to invest. Some of the greatest teachers in your life are the mistakes that you've made. But to learn from them, you got to face them. When you stop feeling bad about it, you think about what that mistake means. How are you going to get better? What did you do wrong? What can you learn? What can you do differently? So just face those mistakes and those moments that don't feel very good, because you're going to blow it in life. You're going to blow some things. It's going to hurt. It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to sting. Other people might laugh at you. And they may tell you to quit something, but don't quit. You get up, like the proverb said, and you keep going. Even if you fall in that same hole in the street over and over, you get up and you keep going. You face your mistakes and think about what you can do better. Part of being good at something is how you handle defeat and pain. If you have this keep going mindset, if you've developed that in parts of your life, that spills over into your relationships. And that's a good thing to have in relationships. Hey, I'm going to keep going. We're going to work this out. We're not going to give up on each other. We're going to hang in there, and we're going to get through this. If you have that up front, that is a good thing to have in your relationships. Even you'll see the best in people, even in bad times, and you'll see the value of the commitment. So tonight, I want to stop and just say, keep going. Don't quit. God will forgive your Everything you've ever done wrong, he will forgive you. But he doesn't take away that part of your life. You can use that for a valuable teacher to get better in that area and other parts of your life. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you did die for us and you made a way to have our sins forgiven. What a blessing. We don't have to carry around that load of guilt and shame and the times that we've just done things wrong. We don't have to carry that around. You have made a way. But help us use all in our life, all of the dings and the mistakes and the failures and bruises and bumps. Help us face those and not be afraid to make mistakes. The Bible is clear about that, and we thank you for the way you've left clear lessons in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll see you next week at the Esquire. Hope you have a good rest of the week.